This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going, my man?
It's going well, my man. Final broadcast, or I should say final show for us for 2025. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. We're going to start off with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We'll start with that Grizzlies game last night. Maybe not the ending everybody was hoping for, but I did think that it was a thrilling game, a fantastic watch, a good reminder of how much fun it can be to have an NBA team in a game that at least feels significant, even if maybe the standings don't feel necessarily that way. We'll get into everything from the coaching issues to the NBC of it all. Shout out, of course, to my friend Eric Hasselstein, of course, George's friend, too. He made the NBC cold open, or I don't know if that's cold open. He made the opening montage. It's not a cold
that's
open,
not a
right?
Cold.
Because
no.
It's a packaged open.
Right.
Yes. I think cold
that's pretty awesome, though.
Oh,
cold open is just where they go straight in. Right?
Yes, correct. And I think it has to be, I believe you have to have like live
audio only or something like
well,
that.
Well, like it has to be the people involved in the shot, like how it can't be prepackaged like a highlight or whatnot. So
right.
But he made the opening montage.
Round ball rock. We love that.
I went back old school. This may predate you. There was a thing called Vine once upon a time.
Oh, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know all about Vine.
Film my TV to make sure Eric got to hear it. So I sent that to him. So shout out to Eric for having his Cam Spencer call make the opening highlight montage. Also want to get into perhaps if Vanderbilt cannot turn this around, the dismal SEC bowl record, postseason record, whether or not it's a another sign yet of the turning of the tide. Perhaps discuss that. Then we'll welcome Jason Munns to the program. We'll do that during the next segment. Memphis Tigers tonight, or I should say this later this evening, right? Because I think it's a 6 o'clock tip. What do we got?
Is it a 6 tip?
Let's see.
Was it North Texas, I think?
It is North Texas. No, it's a 3 o'clock tip on ESPN.
3?
I knew it was an afternoon game, so 3 o'clock. So Munns,
wait, that's
Munns is
going
to be joining us probably from the media room. We might even make an effort to get to Munns a little bit quicker and maybe move some of the buy-sell shorts or go to Reddit. Yeah, well,
good Lord.
Well, since he is down at FedEx Forum, we'll make sure that he can actually do his job, which is covering the basketball team for the Memphis Tigers. So we'll talk to him here in just a few minutes. We will then welcome Coach Hurd to the program. He is on the road headed towards Nashville, so he's going to join us, his Miami Hurricanes, with a big one tonight. We'll talk about that and more when Coach joins us. We'll rank our games of the holiday long weekend. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But, George, let's fire it up. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. George, I apologize. I'm going full Calkins on you.
Oh, boy.
It's not because it's intentional. It's because simply I wrote out the buy, sell shorts or go to Reddit. So you're going to have to answer first. I promise I am not attempting.
This is a very Jeff move of you.
I do not want to do the thing where I'm putting you on the spot so that I can come in and swoop in and play hero. So I apologize in advance.
No, you're
right. I hope the audience knows that as well. But let's just start off with the hottest one right off the bat. Tuomas Isolo lost the game for the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
I'm going to sell that. I am generally going to sell that because I figured this was going to be a lot of the topic of conversation. So I went back, went into the play-by-play,
yep.
was working last night, was not able to watch this live. If you were to sit there and, one, look at the players that we're talking about, in this case, namely Ja Morant and Cedric Coward, we're looking at this coaching staff and this organization as a whole. If you are going to sit there and tell me that you had at any point the expectation that those two players were going to play the entire fourth quarter without sitting down at any point, you're delusional. That is not in the realm of reality. Is it necessarily his fault of when? Like, Ja was heating up at that point. Should he have taken him out then? Maybe not give him that extra minute of run and give him the 2 minutes of break later. Sure. But that was at like the 6:16 mark. He'd already played 6 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I was hoping I could... I don't have the database. I would venture to guess in fourth quarters this season, Ja's not probably played more than 8 minutes.
And he played 10 last night.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm shorting this, by the way.
Okay.
I'm shorting this because on the one hand, I actually like that we're sitting here and debating coaching moves because, A, it implies that it was a game that meant something to us. And
very clearly it did.
You're having the fan reaction of, all right, well, we can't blame the guys. Let's blame the coach and the rotation.
We can kind of blame some of the guys. The guys who got curb stomped.
We'll get there. There's a reason why I'm shorting it.
Okay.
I think the real problem last night and the biggest reason why when Ja and Ced went out that it felt so significant is what you're replacing them with.
Right.
Here are, and again, it's an imperfect stat, but at some point I think I'm just going to stop reading it. This is what happened in the game when you weren't on the floor. Jalen Wells was -3, the only starter that had a minus next to his name.
Right.
That is also where I can make a somewhat of an argument. It's an imperfect stat because I did not feel like the Grizzlies were worse off with Jalen off the floor or worse off
with Jalen on the floor versus right.
Some of that also goes to like when you're playing and who you're playing with.
Correct. And against, for that matter.
Jaren Jackson, +9. Christian Koloko, +5. Cedric Coward, +14. Ja Morant, +11. Those were the starters. More on Koloko in a minute. The bench. Jock Landale, -11. Santi Aldama, -10. Gigi Jackson, -18. Cam Spencer, -14. Javon Small, who played the fewest minutes of all, was a +2. So the reason why the rotations feel so significant is when you are taking the starters off the floor right now, what you are replacing them with, let's be real, is G League adjacent. We are talking about, on normal playoff teams, guys that are, other than Santi,
guys that are probably your
fringe rotation guys.
Eighth, ninth guy in the rotation.
Correct. I'm not saying that Cam Spencer couldn't have a home on a team. There's always a use for a shooter, but we're talking thin here.
Very.
I also have zero problem with not having Cam Spencer on the floor with 1.7 seconds. I understand that he is your best three-point shooter, and he is, from a percentage standpoint, the best three-point shooter in the NBA. With 1.7 seconds and with that defense and as athletic as they are, I am not convinced that he is a plus. Because are we sure? Are we 100% sure he's getting a shot off?
No.
Okay.
I'm with you on that specific point. 100%. I was thinking the exact same thing, especially where they were inbounding the ball as well.
Now, let's be real. Is there a theoretical argument you should have, with 1.7 seconds left, put Cam on the floor than Ja?
Theoretically, yes.
Is there anyone in their right mind that thinks that that is an actual thing you can do?
I think you're asking the wrong person.
Because I live.
Because I'm with you on this.
I try to live in a world of reality. I do not think you can actually have that situation.
Especially in the context of the way the game went last night, where it felt like when you didn't have those starters on the floor, you were just getting your head caved in defensively. Just because, to me, the biggest thing that I saw in that game was the level of athleticism, the difference there between what we saw to the Sixers, which, mind you, they're also just a generally athletic team, between their younger guys, even their bench, like Quentin Grimes is an athlete, you know.
Yeah.
Guys coming off their bench are also athletic. That's just the makeup of their team compared to the Grizzlies, where your starting five is pretty athletic, relatively athletic. Some of those guys off the bench physically cannot keep up.
No, and I'm with you on that. Okay, to me, it's very similar to this. I do not, particularly in postseason baseball, I am pretty much out on the whole concept of if your starting pitcher, who let's say is a $50 million arm, just because it's the third time through the lineup, I don't care. Leave him out there.
Right.
Like, that's why you pay him $50 million. Like, I'm out on the whole, even from a strategic standpoint, I understand it. These are your guys. Like, put him out there.
Yes.
The biggest reason, though, why I'm shorting it is I really feel like the biggest reason they lost, I know there will be two numbers that everyone will point to.
Turnovers are pretty bad.
Second chance points,
yeah.
Allowing offensive rebounds, and turnovers. The reason why I'm focusing on turnovers, going into the game when it seemed to me that it was going to be a situation where Embiid was probably playing.
Right.
I didn't exactly think that that was a matchup the Grizzlies were going to win inside. I thought they were going to get killed. They were going to get killed. Given what they have, I thought they were going to get killed on the boards, and I kind of accounted for that. And I think the reality is you could have lived with the second chance points if not for the turnovers.
Yeah.
20 turnovers to 21 points. And how many of the turnovers were just simply like throwing the ball to no one, throwing the ball out of bounds,
not
being able to dribble?
Too many.
I actually think one of those plays, like you talk about if you get the play-by-play out,
right.
One immediately after the game that I was like, I will be highlighting this and going back to it. Do you recall? Well, I know you weren't watching live, so
I have one that I think you might be mentioning.
The Grizzlies go up 4 and get a stop in overtime. And I'm not even pointing the finger because I actually think Ja was right. But again, it's kind of like it's a scheme thing where it's like, I don't know.
Just one of those ones where he just zips it right past a cutter who's not in the right place.
Threw it to Santi, and yep. Santi was either breaking to the... It looked like it almost bounced off the back of like Santi's neck.
Yeah, it's the one that goes out of bounds. Right by his ear.
They had numbers, they had the advantage, and that was a chance to really put some distance between you and the Sixers.
Yep.
And to me, like, that was kind of indicative of the reason why I highlighted that play is because that's what a lot of the game felt like to me, where the Grizzlies were starting to take control and turnovers happen. You let Philly right back in it, and all of a sudden, you can't put them away. The Grizzlies, I believe, led for 33 minutes of the game. Philly only led for 13 and a half. The game was tied for 6.5. So the Grizzlies largely controlled this game without winning it. And really what it just comes down to me, it's like the rebounding aspect of it, that's probably personnel, that's physical.
That I think a lot of that is that.
Not a whole lot you can do there. Because I did not feel like the effort was bad on the glass. I just think
the effort itself was fine. But like to the point, not just of the turnovers, but also those second chance points, I did not go back and look it up. I needed to. But how often can we actually expect a team to win a game when they are giving up 20 extra opportunities at the glass. Not just at the glass, but at the rim, period. The Sixers had 20 extra shots.
Yeah.
Total.
I would
like,
venture...
That's just a raw number. That's not some crazy statistical thing. That's just... They got the ball up 20 more times. It's a lot more opportunity for them to actually put points on the board.
I would venture a guess that if you have 19 more shot attempts, you probably win the game. Because to your point, it indicates two things. Number one, you're getting more opportunities.
Yep.
And then number two, oftentimes you're getting more second chance opportunities.
And you're limiting your opponent defensively. In this case, it's more of the former, where they're creating a lot more, they're creating better, they're getting their second chance opportunities. Like, sure, it went in overtime. I get that. But the Grizzlies still got up 92 shots.
And then I guess going back to the not having Cam Spencer on the floor thing, how much better of a look are you going to get?
Cedric, 1.7 seconds?
Cedric had a clean look, and he just missed by inches. I mean, maybe it was just the camera angle, because it was basically the well camera from that side was right down on. The thing looked, when it left his hand, it's like,
it looked good.
That's it.
It looked real good.
And it just misses short. I also keep going back to, like, I'm not going to put the loss solely on one guy, but when the Grizzlies had a second chance opportunity at the very end of the game, you had Wells with a clean look, and then Santi gets the wide-open three to win the game at the buzzer.
Yep.
Didn't make it. And then on the flip side, Edgecombe gets his look. Of course, we can discuss that defense later. And drains it.
Yeah. Man, that kid's good, though. The kid's really good.
It was... You could feel that the game... the game meant something to Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that's the Maxi of it all, the NBC of it all, a little bit of both, column A, column B.
Sure.
But you could tell for Edgecombe and for Cedric Coward, that game meant a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And my gosh, what a performance both of them put on. All right. Buy, sell, short, or get a Reddit. NBC has the best national broadcast for the NBA.
Oh, I'm buying that. I am buying that. I think they do so, and it's both NBC and I think Peacock does a good job of it too.
It's the same production.
So many of like the minutia, the little things they do so well. One first, this is just nerding out a little bit. I think their score bug is great.
I think it's
super
clean. They have
clean
graphics, and then I would also argue
they mic up that stadium well.
It's such a nice touch. They do have the Turner mics. Turner used to always mic the crowd the best.
Yeah.
They show us the starting lineups. You get a sense of the atmosphere. I'm with you. The only other one I was thinking about is Amazon.
Prime's done a pretty good job.
But I actually think what I like most about Prime is more pre and post, and that's not what I'm talking about. I want the actual presentation of the game.
Right.
All right. I'm buying too. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit.
Uh-oh.
The tide's about to turn on Noah Eagle.
Oh. Can I ask what you mean by that first?
I think right now, this would be the general consensus. I think most people wanted to hate Noah Eagle.
Right.
He's just there because of the last name, whatnot. But I think most people were like, the kid's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Obviously, he has a phenomenal voice. I mean, he has the voice of a broadcaster. I don't know if it's starting to read his own headlines. I can just feel... He used to play it pretty safe with the broadcast.
Starting to get a little frisky with it.
Starting to get a little more frisky. And also, this is one of those ones where I probably need to have more examples of him in basketball, because when he's in football, it's usually with Blackledge, and I'm just inclined to like Blackledge. That goes back to the SEC on CBS. Like, I like Blackledge.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the Robbie Hummel of it getting excited and whatnot, but like I've just noticed a little more risk taking on the broadcast. I'm like, I know the internet. The internet will do a thing and they will turn on you. And I'm wondering if it's close. Because last night was the first time I've even been like, I generally like this guy.
Yeah.
It was the, let's knock it down a little bit.
You're like, you know what? I know this is a great game. You're about here. Bring it down. Bring it down a tick or two.
I also was wondering if it's an NBA thing, because obviously, I think he's still the Clippers. He was the Clippers radio. Now
he is
might
not.
Did he not get moved up to TV?
Oh, TV? I don't think so.
I was wondering if it was also, he had a lot of factoids about the
NBA.
No,
he's not. Who is it? I was just doing that.
And maybe when he got all the NBC gigs, he dropped it.
He did. It's Brian Seaman and Jim Jackson. Fratello also does color for their FanDuel Sports.
Let's see. Yeah, I guess he must have.
I don't think he ever did Clippers.
No, he did something because I think he did Clippers Radio.
No, I know for sure. I know
Ballmer hired him himself.
Yes, no, I know that 100% because I've now met and talked to the current Clippers guy who also got he got hired right after Noah left.
Yeah,
right out of college. Dude's like 23, and he's kind of.
And I
awesome.
Just assume they all went to Syracuse.
I didn't know this kid went to USC.
Okay. Yeah,
I love Carlo. By the way, Carlo was awesome.
Anybody that wants to do that gig, just go to Syracuse. That would be my... go be cold, be miserable. That's the fastest track.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely the fastest track. All right, let's go with buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The SEC's bowl record is a signal that the conference is no longer mighty.
I think I'm just going to straight sell that. I'm going to straight sell it. Like, I think at this point in, one, what we've seen from the teams, the SEC teams that are currently in the playoff, which is a pretty solid handful, we're seeing all these guys start to opt out to get into the transfer portal a little bit earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand that's a problem, like, countrywide.
Yeah, like, Wake Forest is going to have opt-out issues.
Right.
Like, we're not...
I recognize that. Yeah. Every team is going to have their opt-out issues. But it feels like for the SEC, a lot of these guys that are starting to opt out, like, for what it's worth, Diego Pavia is playing in this game. If Diego Pavia was not probably having to go into the draft after this year, he probably would not be playing.
Well, that was going to be my... I toyed with this one.
Oh.
Diego Pavia is proving just to be an Eli Stover merchant.
Hey, Eli's a Sunday tight end, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no.
No doubt.
That's the reason why he's not playing today.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, Vandy currently trails 34-27. They just scored to cut it to 7. I wouldn't call it an onside kick. Like, they did, like, the...
That weird, like,
it's not a pooch kick, and it's not a squib. It's almost like you tried the onside kick in Madden... But you had too much power.
He just cleared it.
Yeah. But it was by design. They were trying to like kick it to that dead spot.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the best that Tampa's field has looked in like months.
Is this? Oh, this is the Rely Quest.
Yeah. Is it still Ray J?
Yeah, I think so.
Raymond James. Yeah. This is so.
Better question, I guess, for this game. Is this a Vandy thing or is this Gronowski is finally putting a lot of the pieces together thing? Because he's been really good in this game.
He's been really good. I think what this really was for me was Vandy's not really built to play from behind.
That's true. But we talked about that all year. I mean, we saw that in the Alabama game.
Yeah. Now, they also had two plays that greatly, and I'm not trying, for all the Iowa fans, I know we're big in Cedar Rapids, but I'm not trying to diminish the Iowa of it. We had the, have you ever, I feel like I'd seen it before, but I couldn't like recall off the top of my head. When you have the rugby punt and the punter reads gunners, the everybody who's covering the gunners, they're in right. Man, they're running with them, and it's open on the side you're
the
rolling
to. The lane opens up, yeah.
The lane you're opening to. He looked like he was going to do the, oh, I can run for the first.
Oh, the Brad Wing.
Correct. And then one of the, like, I don't, they're not necessarily backers in punt return, but essentially that he just appeared out of nowhere and you could feel the punter yell OS in real time.
Yeah.
And so then he decides to punt it at the last second because he realizes he's not going to get there, but he was like 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. And so then that was a turnover on downs, gave the ball.
Right.
So quick touchdown. But really what this has come down to is Vandy cannot stop the run.
No.
And Vandy could not block Iowa, and sometimes football can be really simple lines of scrimmage. So here are the raw numbers. In this postseason, so this includes playoff two.
Right.
The SEC, 2-5, straight up and against the spread. We should also note one of those games includes Alabama against Oklahoma.
Which are two SEC teams.
Correct. Playing each other. If Iowa gets this first down where it's 3rd-and-1, they're about to fake the tush push. I think it's going to be offsides anyway, but Iowa's going to win the football game. So now the SEC is going to be 2-6 with 5 favorites losing outright in the postseason. And again, one of those favorites losing outright was Oklahoma losing to Alabama.
Right.
Last year in the postseason, 8-7 straight up, 7-8 overall. Favorites last year went 5-4 in the postseason, 4-5 against the spread. Underdogs 3-3 straight up and overall. Now, in the last two seasons, the SEC will be 1-7 against the Big Ten straight up and against the spread. The lone win? That would be Missouri. So does Missouri count now?
Missouri's always counted to me.
No, I've always just wondered, like, because I feel like...
We never even mentioned that, now that I think back to it. Where are they going to go for quarterback?
I don't know. I kind of trust Drinkwitz, though.
No, I trust Drinkwitz to find his guy. But what does that look like? Because we thought Prabula was the guy.
I don't know. Where does Deuce Knight wind up? Where does...
I've heard nudge, nudge, wink, wink with Deuce because of Kelvin Bolden coming back.
So you could tell me he's on their roster. I'd be surprised if he's Ole Miss's starting quarterback.
That would also shock me. Man, that kid can spin it, though. But think about it, like a lot of these guys that we've heard specific places for, their coordinator going somewhere else,
yeah.
Their former coach going somewhere else. Now we're starting to hear, not so fast, they're going to be getting some big-time offers from other places.
Well, I also think I'm curious to know. I am curious about how all this money's going to work, because I think the price tag is going to be high.
Yeah.
But I also think a lot of these guys that think they're going to get these big paydays, a couple of guys will.
Not all of them.
But not all of them. And I think you could wind up with the Nico. Now, I'm not saying like late and you handle it poorly because you got horrible management around you. And
right.
Again, I don't totally absolve Nico either. You're a grown up. You can do what you want to. So
sure.
I think we saw this kind of at the basketball portal last year. Remember early guys were getting huge numbers. And then it slowed down.
Right. It started to taper.
There are going to be plenty of guys to get $5 million. Like, I think that's probably fair. I don't know if the average...
But, like, the question there that we all have is who and where?
Well, and I'm very curious about this. If Texas Tech beats Oregon tomorrow, are more people going to look and see... Texas Tech kind of moneyballed it with quarterback?
They did.
And are these other teams going to sit there and go, we just got to get
a veteran solid guy.
Exactly. Maybe a guy's just played a lot of football.
Where's Rocco Becht?
Correct.
Call him up. Where's Soresby?
Yeah, guy.
Call him up.
And that might be what Tech's doing.
Probably.
But
this is Morton's last year, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
And again, I don't know. The speculation is Soresby, if he doesn't get the draft grade he wants, which I kind of think that's likely.
Yeah.
Although maybe the quarterback draft's so bad that
it bumps him up a couple spots, yeah.
But I believe his girlfriend is a volleyball player, and everybody's doing she's transferring to Texas Tech, so that's the signal. To which I always ask, like,
does that even matter?
Do we know the strength of the relationship? Because that could be blessing in disguise for Soresby.
Could be,
Again, everyone's making the assumption that, like,
that could be the eject pack.
Listen, sweetie, you have to do what's best for you.
Do what's best for you.
If it's meant to be, it'll be. But you've got to focus on you first.
Go do your thing.
I think he's also from Texas.
I was about to say, though, like, he also could look and say, I am not moving to Lubbock.
Yeah, I think like anything, you can live just about anywhere if the price is right.
Oh.
Yeah.
You
can do that. So my argument would be the postseason itself, to me, is not an indication. I just still contend to think the top of the SEC cannot max out at the same level that the Ohio States can.
Mm-hmm.
If Michigan decides to get its program together and they want to max out, the two that I think can max out are Texas and Texas Tech. And these are historically two of the schools that have done the least with the most.
Right.
But do I think Georgia can max out at the same level Ohio State can? No, I do not. I'm not even sure Georgia can max out at the level Oregon can.
For now, we've been...
Uncle Phil.
Yep.
Uncle Phil. All right, let's take a quick break so we can get to Jason Munns. He's live at FedEx Forum. He's going to join us to preview and talk Tiger basketball. We'll do that next. Let's find out if we'll get another starting lineup when we return. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Make sure you download, subscribe to the Commercial Appeal's Tiger Sports Podcast. Follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Munns joining us live from FedEx Forum. What are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is Bow Down by Geese.
Geese is, I feel like, hot in the internet streets right now.
Yeah, which I didn't realize, honestly. Like, I came across them the same way I come across all other new bands, but in the subsequent in the following, you know, weeks or months or whatever, I've noticed that they've kind of caught on a little bit.
And they've been around a while, right? Like, I feel like they've just, like, broken through. And, like, I don't know if it's an internet thing or maybe I'm just becoming aware of it. Like, I feel like they've been around a while, but now it feels like they're experiencing the fruits of their labor.
Well, regardless, as long as it happens, that's the most important thing.
All right, so here's the big question. I'm looking over at Stat Broadcast. I don't know if they've handed you the paper yet. Are we going to see another starting lineup in about 22 minutes?
The answer is yes, Jeffrey, there will be a new starting lineup.
So can you is this 10 out of 13?
I believe it's 10 out of 13. I'm almost positive that's right. I was looking through the notes, and I believe there's only like 9 or 10 or some. There's not very many more schools in the country who have had more starting lineups this season than Memphis. To take that a step further, I'm almost positive about this. I'll have to double check and get back with you next week, but I'm almost positive that Memphis has already had more starting lineups this season than they had in the previous two seasons combined.
How do you even check this? Because I tried to set about doing it as well. Is the only way to do it just to go through every box score? Because like I've not seen an actual when the NBA, like sometimes you can do like I think you can get a basketball reference and you can find out like lineup combinations.
Right.
I think you literally just have to do it by hand. Like I think you have to be like Giannotto and just get your old trusty notepad out. I just remember when he was trying to track this. Was that the 19 season? Do you remember that when he had the notebook?
Yeah, I think it was honestly the Imani Bates, Jalen Duren year. So I think it was the 20,
that sounds right.
21 season.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember that undertaking that he did, and it was something. It was very admirable. The work that he put in to come up with that.
Okay, so I have tried to take the approach because one of the criticisms you would hear is like, this is AAU style. And I'm like, no, I know an AAU coach. There's no way Coach Hurd in an entire summer has had this many starting lineups, let alone in 13 games. This is like a street ball thing. But I also feel the obligation, like I want to be fair. From Penny's perspective, he has to believe this is a feature, not a bug, correct?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that. So he's talked a lot during the offseason and during the season about the fact that one of the biggest strengths of this team is its depth. And if you just look at the stats, I mean, like that's another note in the game notes for Memphis that they've got. I think as many or more players averaging at least 6 points per game than any other team in the country. And like, I think that this is just Penny using his depth. And then on top of that, you know, there's also the fact that he's not getting the consistent effort that and production that he's looking for out of certain guys. And so, and then there's been injuries on top of that, that's sort of necessitated some moving parts. And then, you know, not to mention the matchups, like, you know, a couple of these games, like against Purdue, when he went really long against Purdue and he's going long again today. You know, I think it's a matchup thing. But like, you know, for instance, going back to the injuries, Tierno Silva's out today, and he has started 6 games this season, including each of the last 2. And so, you know, that does sort of play a part in it. But yeah, I do not think that Penny sees this in a negative light.
I think though, because Hurd was asking me when we were talking last week, and he was like, "Okay, they've had injuries." And to your point, I think injuries describes some of it or explains some of it, but not all of it. And then I do also, like, I think the players should be held responsible too. I think this would be the question I have, though, is does Penny think that there should be a consistent rotation, but it's being ripped up because of the fact that guys aren't delivering?
Yeah, I would say that his reaction after the most recent game, after the win against Alabama State more than a week ago, I would say his reaction to when he was asked about, he was basically asked point blank whether he was any closer to like nailing down a, you know, consistent, reliable lineup and rotation. And he cracked up. He was like, no, I'm not. Sorry. You know, like he just busted out laughing, and it was a really, really funny moment because he seems to be just as not dumbfounded, but he seems to be almost as much at a loss as everybody else for the fact that we are now 13 games into the season and we have seen 10 different starting lineups. And again, I mean, it's hard to emphasize this enough. I don't think you can overemphasize the fact that we're not even halfway through this season and there are already more lineups, and like not just one more, we're talking multiple more lineups this through 13 games than all of the previous two seasons combined.
And I think that's kind of where it's like, I don't think that any of us think about his basketball team as much as he does. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do
sure,
think
yeah.
sometimes there's this desire to think like, oh, well, this hasn't occurred to him. I think what I just find interesting is I don't know of anyone that would coach and would think that this is like a normal thing. Like, I guess that's where I've really struggled is like, make it make sense to me. Can you do that? Even if I disagree with it, you see what I'm saying? Like, if I can yeah. see the logic, you know what I mean? Like, that can be a difference of opinion, and it's his basketball team. He's the one that gets the wins and the losses. He's the one that ultimately is responsible. But what I've just struggled with is I don't really sense a whole lot of rhyme or reason other than he's just frustrated.
No, I do think that, again, I think that the injuries have played a role in it. And then, you know, not only that, but you've got the matchups. Like he feels, I believe Penny feels legitimately that he has probably two different, like he's got, you know, 10 starters. I think he believes that. And, you know, like he has been very, very outspoken these last couple of months that he just cannot get a good feel for what he's going to get on a night in and night out basis. And that's as much of this, as much a part of this as anything, is that he doesn't, he cannot bank. Like, you knew exactly what you were going to get when you put Tyrese Hunter in the starting lineup. You knew
yep.
exactly what you were going to get with Colby Rogers and PJ Haggerty and Dave Danger and Nick Jordan. Like, and you can even go back to the next year. I was going to say you knew what you were getting with Javon Quinterly and Jaquan Walton, but I'm not so sure about that. But he knew going in.
I think you knew that you weren't sure what you were going to get.
Right.
You could have
right.
gotten great. Like, you know, cause like that is the other thing about Quinterly. I think he gets remembered as just being a terrible year. He was very good in the non-con. It was during conference play when it started to really just go south.
Yeah. It was when Caleb Mills got hurt.
Yeah.
It was when Javon Quinterly's season just spiraled out of control. Because he was hit. I mean, like, don't forget those back.
He was hitting game winners, man.
Yeah. And so, anyway, no, I think it's genuinely. I think it's equal parts confounding for Penny, but also I do feel that he strongly believes that he's playing to this team's strength by mixing it up the way that he does. Like he can run out lineups where four of the five guys are 6'5" or longer. And, you know, that is a pro, you know, like when you can do that, that can help you. And it did help him. I mean, like Matt Painter said it, that their length got to Purdue in that game. And Steve Forbes said it, that Wake Forest had trouble with Memphis's length. And so, you know, again, I think it's a little bit of a lot of things, but at the end of the day, you're right. You do need to be like, you don't need to be thinking about your starting lineup this much. You need to be thinking the time that's being spent thinking about what starting lineup you're going to, you know, what's the starting lineup going to be today? Like that time could be spent thinking about other things. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if maybe we're zeroing in on something.
And again, maybe we're going to get to the point where, hey, they're starting conference play and we're going to realize this team's a lot better than the rest of the league. And
Right. Listen,
we're going to look back and realize this was a really tough non-conference schedule. And as good as they were in the non-conference last year, there were a lot of toss-up games that went Memphis's way. And I'm not
That's
saying
true.
It always has to be year to year. You know, one year things go your way, the next they don't. But we see that pretty frequently in sports where, hey, you won the close games one year, and maybe next year they don't quite go your way, but we get into conference play, and Memphis is going to be the best team. We're going to recognize that. I think the last thing, though, I'd ask on this topic, though, is he not afraid that – or is he not bothered by the fact that it feels like some of the inconsistency is just the fact that, man, it feels like sometimes the first time we see a lineup is when they actually get on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly plausible. He has not said anything, like, outwardly at all this season about the fact that, you know, he's had to, or that he has used so many different, I mean, other than, you know, just almost in passing, he has said, like, you know, yeah, obviously, I wish I could settle on one starting lineup and that would be that. But he's not like, at least not that I've heard or not that I've been told, that he's like super frustrated about it yet. Like, maybe if we get to February and we're still doing this and he's played 20 different starting lineups, then maybe that's the point where he's like, oh man, this is just too much for me. But I do think that there's something to what you said about, you know, now that we're starting conference play, you know, if Memphis comes out and wins today and asserts itself on Saturday at Rice and continues to build some momentum and some confidence and maybe some consistency, then you know, maybe that'll translate into some regularity with that starting lineup.
We're talking with Jason Munns. He, of course, is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Make sure you're listening to the Commercial Appeal's Tiger Sports podcast. Follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Okay, this was the other thing that I was thinking about, and I don't have a great answer. Maybe you do. What do you think is the number it will take to win the regular season in the American?
Number of wins?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a really good question. I would say that whoever wins the American is going to have to win at least 15 games. That's what I would say. I think Tulsa, like, I'm not convinced that Tulsa's like a legitimate.
I need to see more proof that they're not metric manipulators.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm not.
But maybe you can metrically manipulate your way and still be good in this league.
Yeah, man, and like, there's something to be said for knowing how to win. They've won 12 games already, and probably should have won 13. Like, they lost by 1 point at Kansas State when they missed an open layup as time expired that would have won them the game. But like, the point is, they know how to win, and they've got a lot of confidence right now, and so. But again, like, let's see where we are here in a couple of weeks with Tulsa. And then I think South Florida is dangerous. I don't see South Florida, though. I don't see them, you know, winning that many games. But, like, again, I could see Tulsa. I could see, I'm trying to think, maybe UAB. But, yeah, it seems like 14 or 15 is probably the number that you'd need to get to win the league, because, you know, even though there is as much parity as there is in this league, I still think there's probably one or two teams that's going to be able to, string together quite a few wins. And Tulsa feels like the leader in the clubhouse for that right now. But I do not see anybody, like, you know, going 16-2, 17-1, 18-0. I don't see anybody doing that. So I that's why I say 14, 15 is probably, that's what comes to mind for me.
Yeah, because I was trying to think. I guess really the question is, hey, what does it take to get second? You know what I mean? Because in the end, structurally, what you're just trying to get to one of those top two seeds so that you only have to win on Saturday and Sunday to win the conference tournament, because it seems like, hey, it's pretty obvious this is going to be a one-bid league. And for Memphis, the non-conference went the way that it did. You're going to have to win the conference tournament to get into the field. But I guess that's kind of the other question. How much confidence do you have that Memphis can be one of those two teams that wins 14 or 15?
I still believe that this team is capable of doing that, of finishing either first or second in this league. And honestly, part of the reason I say that is because I don't think there are two teams that are, you know, over the course of an entire conference season are better than Memphis. But the other reason I say that is because, I mean, listen, like Memphis, and I know they didn't win these games, but, you know.
Well, they've had one game realistically that they probably couldn't have won.
Exactly. We're talking about Louisville. But like, yeah, that's the thing is, you look at Vandy, and there was a missed opportunity there. There was a missed opportunity at Mississippi State. There was the missed opportunity against Wake Forest. This team could easily be 8-4.
Yeah.
Easily. Just with a couple of breaks, a couple of whatever, you know, like if the ball bounces a certain way, you know, just once, twice, three times, this team could easily be 8-4.
And obviously, like, late game execution is their fault too, but I totally agree with you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that, just because we're focusing on how they executed late, there were other things that could have happened for the other teams that could have gone against them, and we're talking about it differently.
And I'm a big believer in, like, the even Steven law. Like, Memphis has had a lot of breaks go against it. Now, you're right. You are, you know, it part of that is Memphis's fault. Part of that is Memphis not making breaks for itself. But I think that on a long enough timeline, over the course of an entire season, the bad breaks that you get, like if you get a few bad breaks in a row, or a handful of bad breaks early on, you're going to get some breaks later on. And I just think that while I believe Memphis earned its 5-7 record so far, I also believe that it's capable, if you get a break or two that you didn't get in the first 12 games in this conference season, and you get better on top of it, yes, I think this team will finish first or second. I still think I made one of the bold predictions that I made before the season was that this team was probably going to win, was going to put together a winning streak of at least 10 games. And my prediction was that it would start against Alabama State. And I still feel that way. And if that happens, then I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Memphis will finish first or second.
Well, because I was along the same lines. I was thinking about how important is it to just get off to a good start? Like, it doesn't even necessarily mean you have to, like, shellack these teams. But I do think this team could just benefit some. And honestly, this would be one of the things I would even say with Penny. Like, I think Penny at times takes losses very hard and thinks, like, it's kind of outcome-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think sometimes when they simply start winning, like, he starts to kind of settle in. Like, it just seems to me this start for them is massive, because these are incredibly winnable games to start.
That's right. North Texas today, here in just a few minutes. You get Rice this weekend, then you get a whole week off.
Yep.
After having just had 9 days off, you get another week, actually 8 days between the Rice game and the FAU game. Now, Rice and FAU are both on the road, but yes, like, this is a golden opportunity for Memphis to sort of, like, get right mentally.
Yeah.
And they took a big first step by beating Alabama State by 21 points, the Alabama State team that beat UAB earlier this season.
I believe they got all 15 guys some action.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah.
That was something.
Love those box scores when they go that far down the list. But yeah, like, yes, you win today, you take care of business against Rice and FAU, and then you're, you know, like, you're right. Like you get a little bit of mojo. You get some swagger, some juice, and who knows what can happen after that.
All right, my man, good luck. I know you've got, I think, tip-off's what, here in 90 seconds?
I think they pushed it back a little bit. So, okay. But yeah, it's getting close.
Let's see. We're on the deuce today, right?
Yep. John Triffin and Perry Clark.
Yeah, because we got Clemson and Syracuse going on right now. Yeah, there's still 7 minutes left. So I'm sure this game will start on ESPN News for everyone
right.
else, or maybe ESPN Plus, maybe the Everything app. All right, my man, yeah. I appreciate you.
All right, thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Again, North Texas and Memphis about to tip off here. I agree with Munns. It looks like they're going to push it back probably to 3:07, and with the game already going on ESPN2, likely the Tigers will be starting off on another network. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, our coach, your coach, everybody's coach, Team Thad's coach, Coach Hurd joins the program next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.